Today on Real Radio.
Fools don't appreciate anything. They rarely say thank you unless it's to their benefit. They expect everything to be handed to them. They won't work at all.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. Now, any student of Scripture knows that the Bible is full of passages about the foolish as well as the wise. Folly or foolishness is all around us. In fact, we all have done things that are foolish, that is, if we're honest with ourselves. Now, in chapter 25 of 1 Samuel, we learn that David is no exception. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called How to Handle the Fool.
And you see engaged couples, and they're so, it's great, and it's so cute. And they have no idea, they've never thought, she has never thought of, does he squeeze the tube in the middle, or does he roll it from the bottom? I guarantee you, whatever you do, girl, he'll do the opposite. Guy, whatever you do, I roll it from the bottom. I'm a neat freak. She won't be. You watch what happens. And for my wife and I, it was disaster from the very get-go. Because she was the baby of 9 kids, and I was the baby of 3. And when you're the baby, everybody picks up after the baby. And we married one another. And so we came, you know, from the wedding, and we go to the hotel, and man, I got my shirt, and I'm swinging it around and throwing it, and shooting my underwear across the room, and she's doing the same thing, and then we look at each other and go, aren't you going to pick it up? Come on, got to pick it up. Why? Because my mom walked behind me and picked everything up. Well, that's what my mom did. And the difference. And I don't even know how I got onto that. But God is using it in the lives of someone here tonight. Examples. Okay, when in doubt, go to the Bible. Philippians 3:17. Philippians 3:17 says, join with others in following my example, the way that we live. Paul says, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. An influence, a godly pattern, an example. Listen, fools will even be in the presence of godly examples. Though you may even raise a home that is right, there may be a fool in that home. And so many times we get so down on ourselves because we think we have failed miserably. And that's not the case. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Church, did you hear that? Paul says, hey, everybody, mimic. The word is mime in Greek, mimic. Move exactly how I move. Speak exactly how I speak. Because Paul is saying, I speak and I move in the same manner that Jesus did, so you follow me. Wow. Doesn't that sound almost arrogant? But it's not. You know what we would call somebody like this in the world today? We'd call them a hero. And you dress up like your hero, right? You walk like your hero. That's an important thing. I remember this great football player in our high school. I was a freshman, he was a senior. And he was just tremendous, fullback. And the way he moved even between classes, I would watch him. And I would want to mimic the way he even moved. Well, in a spiritual sense, Paul says, do that in my life. That's the heart of God, that these men, David, Nabal, Saul, would have followed Samuel's example. God raises up men and women that we might mimic or to shadow them. Well, verses 2 and 3. Life will have its fools, but not for a lack of blessings. Now, there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very rich. He was a very wealthy man. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Fool, Nabal. And the name of his wife was Abigail, the joy of the father, or the father's joy. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. This man is super blessed. Don't think for a moment that just because a man is super blessed in business or whatever, that he's not a fool. Ladies, listen carefully. Listen, even if it's painful. We have got a fool. Who's wealthy? Who's influential? Who's powerful? He is married to a woman who is sweet. She is gentle. And the Bible even points out that she's beautiful to look at. The word in Hebrew actually says that she was of a good shape. She was not only bright of face with joy, but she was built shapely. Interesting. She's got the world, so to speak, except she's got a fool for a husband. Well, the Lord doesn't want me to be married to no fool. Well, Abigail was married to a fool. You can have all the money, you can have all the looks, dear, you can have everything, and there's one thing that you are lacking, and that is a godly, wonderful husband, because you've been married to a fool. He's not a believer. He makes fun every time you go to church. He mocks your friends and your faith. And if you don't maintain a healthy, strong Christian walk with the Lord, a spiritual connection with God, you can easily begin to justify with books that are out there and people that surround you, I think I'm going to leave this stooge. I'm going to dump this clown. He's a Nabal. And surely God would rather have me be happy than unhappy. Listen how God deals with such situations. She's a godly woman. Life will have its fools. There'll be great examples, but God will have his fools. God will give great blessings, but God will have his fools in this world that we might learn by them. And he doesn't make them fools. He allows us to learn from them. The second thing that we see here, look at verses 4-9, is that know that fools lack a thankful heart. Listen to this. They don't care about anyone else. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. That is, greet him in my authority. In my name, in my office or my power. And so David says, this is what you're going to do, you guys. Go to his house. Why? You know what? We know at this time of the year, this time for celebration. Plus, David's men are hungry. And David's men have been providing protection to those that were in that area, people, from marauders and from invaders of the territory. David's men were almost like a police force. And he had protected Nabal's sheep, his flocks. So David, not suspecting anything, David says, hey, guys, go and greet him in my name, in my authority, because everybody knows who I am, and go for it. Now listen to this. A fool will have no thanks in his heart. They don't care about anything else. They don't care about anyone else. So David makes preparation. The men go. They don't care. Verse 6 teaches us that they don't understand what they have. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, that's Nabal's life, peace be to you. Listen to this. Peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. People, this is a very precious blessing. David is saying peace to all that you have, to all who that you are and all that you encompass. Peace. But listen, Nabal's not understanding this. He's a fool. Man's matters nothing to him. There's no quality or standard in his life. We would say today, man, what's wrong with that guy? This verses 7-9 really rips on your heart. When a fool has an unthankful heart, they don't appreciate others. What are the marks of a fool? They don't care about anybody. They don't understand what they have. And verses 7 through 9 teaches that they don't appreciate others. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us. In other words, David's men protected his shepherds. And we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David. Listen to the humble approach that David's taking here. So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. They waited for a response. They waited for him to speak. The Bible says in Philippians 3:18, "For many walk," Paul said, "for many walk of whom I have often told you and now even tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly." They only care about what they can amass. "Whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." This is Nabal. And so David is saying, ask Nabal that he might bless us. What David's kind of saying is, we've provided great protection for your flocks. Your men can even attest to the truth of that. And it's at a feast time. So can you show us some kindness by allowing us to have some food and some water and some provision? This man's got it all, and he won't share one bit of it. Like he's going to take it with him. His God has become his belly. It's all he can think about is what he can acquire, what he can have, and he won't share anything. And it's quite tragic. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Again, Paul speaks to the elders in Acts chapter 20. He says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers," or shepherds or pastors, "to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." So, even among the Christian setting, and even in the church, Paul is saying, these fools, these Nabals exist. Their God is their belly. They don't spare the flock. What's implied here is that they fleece the flock. They take money from the flock. They pad their lives with proceeds from the flock. And Paul says, watch out for them. They've completely forgotten that Jesus bought the church with his own blood. What Nabal has forgotten, and every fool does forget this, is that God has given him all that he possesses. It's comical. Church, listen, is this not true? When you see somebody strutting around town with their wealth and they think that they did it?
"Well, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm the one that went to Yale."
Well, you know what? God gave you the graces to go to Yale.
"I beg your pardon. My father worked hard to send me there, and I got there on my grades, on my 4.0.
Who gave you the ability to have a 4.0? It's all of God. And it's a funny thing when you see somebody, in my opinion, in my life's experience, the people that I've seen the most wealthy, as Christians anyway, the really super wealthy Christian, you don't even know he's wealthy. They buy their shoes at Kmart. It's no big deal to them anymore. They've come through that silly state. And then you see people who may be making an okay living, but they're in hock up to their neck, and they've got everything leveraged out there. They don't own anything, but it looks like they own everything, and they're flashing it around. And when you see that, they're not really wealthy. They're not wealthy. A couple of weeks ago, we had to laugh. We were driving out there through Palm Springs, and we're at a stoplight, and this this kid pulled up with this incredible Mercedes-Benz. Two kids in the car, and they're acting like it's theirs. And it's so funny, because we're old enough to figure it out, that they're taking their dad's car to go get gas in it. Or they probably just had it washed because his dad wanted it washed, but they're acting like it's their car. And maybe, you know, some young girls would go, oh, look, those young guys are so wealthy. And then, you know, some old guy like me looks at the thing and just, you know, you want to roll down the window and say, hey, when'd your dad get that car? Or shouldn't you take your dad's car home? It's hilarious. Forgetting that it's come from the hand of God. Fools don't appreciate anything. They rarely say thank you unless it's to their benefit. They expect everything to be handed to them. They won't work at all. They want it handed out. They want it doled out. And it's a sad thing. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4, that this type of man is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant fractions between men of corrupt minds who have been robbed of the truth and who think that the gospel is a means to financial gain. Wow. Verses 10 to 13, we learn that to handle a fool, we need to know that a fool will resist us. A fool will resist you. And they'll do that with insult, slander, and mockery. Listen to, then Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? Church, everybody knew who David was. He knows who David is.
Well, who's David? Who's Jesse?
There are many servants nowadays who break away from his master. That's a key. Verse 11, shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed from my shears and give it to men who I don't even know where they've come from? He's insulting. He's attacking and mocking David. When he says, many nowadays depart from their masters. Do you know what that implies? David is not being submissive to Saul. He's being bad. He is mocking and insulting and slandering David. Nabal is. And that's what fools do. Listen, in verses 12 to 13, by trying to get the better of us is what fools will attempt to do. So David's young men turned out on their heels and went back, and they came and told David all these words. Then David said to his men, now church, listen, verse 13, we've got to take this into our hearts and not do what David does here. David, who just did so well in chapter 24, says, every man gird on his sword. So every man girded on his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with his supplies. 400 men to kill one guy? 400 men gonna issue and carry out David's will. What's David doing? He's been insulted, mocked, and injured. What do we do? Kill him! There's no consultation of God. David is God's man. And now look, the sin of Nabal, and here's what happens to us. The sin of the fool so upsets us that we enter into that sin. We can be having a fine day, and somebody comes by, I don't like you. We should just keep having a fine day. But that gets under our skin, and it begins to, you know, boil there and get all, you know, pussy. Like a splinter in your finger. And it's a little tiny thing. But it starts to really bug you. And then everything you reach for, you seem to hit that little thing. Ow! And now you're super sensitive to that thing. You know what he said to me? He said he didn't like me. And then it begins to eat on you. Why would you let another man's sin become your sin? Get rid of it. Forget about it. It's not worthy of your attention. Because if you don't let it go, and if you go to do what David's about to do, it'll destroy your life. I'll make you like me. Now, if David is going to carry out what he's starting, God will intervene. The tragedy is the insult, the mockery, and the slander that Nabal puts upon David, it will have its end effect upon David's life. It will ruin him. And when somebody attacks David or you or me, it doesn't have to be true. It doesn't have to be true at all. All we have to do, church, is mismanage what comes to our lives. And isn't that true even if something good comes to our lives? We can mismanage good things even. This is a very dangerous thing. David is allowing sin to take hold of his life. Years ago, I told the church, and it's actually still there to this day, but this tree, we planted a sycamore tree when we bought our house, and the girls named it, his name's Zacchaeus, and now he's giant, and now my kids are giant, and they don't even probably notice the tree anymore, but it's massive, you know? Giant sycamore tree. But when we got him, he was in a 5-gallon plastic container. And we got pictures of the kids, you know, we're digging the hole and putting them in. The girls have gloves on. The gloves are so big. Gloves are like the size of their head. That's so cute looking. But they named the tree. And as the tree grew up, I always kept the branches really low because they love to climb the tree. So you got to keep the branches when the kids are young kind of low so they can climb up the tree. And then they grew up and they stopped climbing the tree. And in one of the branches, I'm mowing the lawn. I'm mowing and whack! I ran right into this branch, and I just stopped the mower. I went in the garage, and I got the bow saw, and I just cut it right off. And the interesting thing was, I don't know why I did this, but I left about 8 inches of that branch sticking out, and it's there to this day. And I have been up in that tree. I'm not going to say how recent. It's none of your business. But it's interesting because I can't reach the rest of the branches unless I grab onto that stub that was left from years ago. And what David is doing is he's allowing a remnant of his old sinful life to be available so that sin might climb up and take advantage. All you have to do is have a little bit of the door open or a little bit of the tree hanging so sin can take hold and advance upward to destroy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called How to Handle the Fool. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 25 and part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at this Old Testament historical book. And we'll continue with more of How to Handle a Fool on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And remember now, this broadcast outreach of Real Radio is just part of a bigger ministry. You can hear, watch, and read messages by Pastor Jack as well. We have television programs, topical studies, commentaries, devotionals, podcasts if you'd like, and you can have it all at your fingertips with the smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, of course, happens to be the same name as our television program, and all you have to do is go to your app store and download it for free. This one-stop shop features topical lessons from Scripture, Real Life Devotions with Jack Hibbs, which, by the way, you can get in your email box. Our Real Radio podcasts are available, verse-by-verse studies, and, of course, our Monday night TV program that bears that same title as the app itself, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. I've got it on my smartphone, and it sure makes things easy to follow. It really does. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or your tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And our telephone number, should you need it, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.